Hey guys, this episode of The Read is being brought to you by Squarespace. Make your business official with Google and Squarespace. When you create a custom domain and a beautiful business website with Squarespace, you'll receive a year of business email and professional tools from Google. Trust me, they come in handy and is the simplest way to look professional online. Nobody wants an old, unprofessional hag. So visit squarespace.com/Google to start your free trial. Use offer code DOMAIN for 10% off your first purchase. Google and Squarespace, make it professional and make it beautiful. Let's move on.
Today's episode of The Read is also brought to you by Curly Clips. That's right. I talk about it all the time. Curly Clips goes out for all the girls with curly and Afro-textured hair who want to do protective styles, but don't always want to sacrifice the length or the health of their actual real hair. That's where Curly Clips comes in. I will definitely be using them all this fall and winter to keep my real hair away and out of the path of wind and cold and whatever other mess may come over the next several months. You can do it too. Curly Clips ships from Philadelphia and London. So even if you're in Europe and on Team Natural, you can get your curly on too. All you got to do is go to curlyclips.com and use offer code READ to save $15 on your next purchase. That's curly with a K and clips with a K.com. Use offer code READ to save $15 on your next purchase. Let them know that we sent you. And now let's start the show.
So, guys, here we are, another week again.
Yes, we are. Welcome to The Read.
I'm Alaska Thunderfuck. That's how Alaska from RuPaul's Drag Race, I know you don't watch it, but that's,
she talks like a Kardashian.
Like this all the time.
Do you know what, it's called vocal fry. I heard about it on NPR. That's what that technique is called, and it's a white girl thing. But it's apparently like extremely widespread now. I think the Kardashians made it famous. It's this act of like dragging out your voice a little bit. It's just like that.
I'm going to do more research on this.
I think that's what it is.
Vocal fry thing. I think I might have a small case of it, but
I think it's so common now that a lot of people slip into it, but some people talk like that on a permanent basis.
Well, I don't believe that Alaska actually speaks like that, but it's just so much.
Is she the one that everybody like says should have been kicked off but hasn't been yet?
No, that's actually Roxy Andrews. And Roxy Andrews, wherever you are, girl, you should be ashamed of yourself. Because honestly, sweetheart, you should have bowed out of the competition a smooth 5 to 6 weeks ago. And I know that y'all taped this or whatever, but 5 to 6 weeks prior to making it to where you are at this stage of what we're watching, girl, you should have left. Because you're not, you know, you're not on the level that the rest of the girls are. And it just is. You're still an all-star. You came back. That matters. You have fans. You're beautiful. You slay the runway from time to time, but you don't have the range.
Damn.
You don't have the range. There's no reason Alaska should, I mean, there's no reason that Alyssa should have gone home before you. There's no reason Tatiana should have gone home before you, because they both slay runways and they're great performers and they're funny and they have talent, and Roxy doesn't. No. Roxy has friends that voted for her to stay in the competition.
Oh, it's that type of show.
Because RuPaul changed the damn rules this year, this season.
Of course.
Decided that the girls get to vote for who goes home instead of RuPaul doing it.
That makes it
and
messier.
So they say this bitch talking about, oh, well, Tatiana is super talented and gorgeous and great and perfect at everything and so amazing and totally an all-star, and Roxy, let me borrow this shirt so Roxy can stay. Like,
so the other girl was actual competition and this one is my friend, so bye.
Exactly, but bitch, she's gonna lose anyway because all y'all are better than her, so anyway, exactly. I hope Katya wins because Katya is the only one who didn't do that. And then y'all tried to give Alyssa shit when she kept Katya for having more potential than Ginger. But then you turned around and literally kept Roxy because she's your homegirl. Trash.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you got them feelings out.
I do. You know what? I am emotional. I'm off my meds. And Tommy Ford died. So.
Yeah, which is very, I just saw that. So that's some very sad news.
Here we are anyway, and I'm going to make the best of a shit situation.
Yeah, okay.
So my black excellence this week is going to be Tommy, because you're part of one of my favorite shows, I think people think that I'm being dramatic when I talk about sitcoms and how they really saved my life growing up. But that's all I did was go to school and then come home and sit in my room and watch cartoons and sitcoms and stuff. So Martin's my favorite shows ever. I feel like it's too early for us to be losing the cast of Martin. Like,
yeah,
but
he could not have been 60 even.
52.
So yeah, that is just
so
really sad news. Rest in peace. Thomas Michael Ford, right? That was his whole name.
Yep.
Yeah. Very, very sad. Like, that's a giant piece of my adolescence, that show is, and him being on that show and just everything about it is sad, and seeing the reactions from other people on the cast and stuff like that, I know is going to be heartbreaking. It's just,
wow.
Here we are, though, 2016.
I don't even know what that, okay. Well, rest in peace to him, and prayers for his families and his loved ones. Martin's the shit, and you can literally always, I mean, it's not like your spirit will ever be gone, because right, you can watch Martin any and every day of the week.
That's true.
On some channel.
Always in syndication. So, and we will not, that. Niggas will not let this go. We'll be 40 something showing old Martin DVDs to our kids. Like, y'all don't
have
nothing about this. Yeah.
If they ever release them on Blu-ray or whatever, I will make sure that I will be able to play this for whichever, I guess, grandchildren I have for my adopted kids, if I ever decide to destroy
whoever's
my
kids
own life.
You end up watching one time, because that's more likely.
Yeah.
That everybody's probably like, you know what? We're just going to drop our kids off with you for a few hours and be back.
That'd be in great hands.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that. Because I feel like your house would be a wonderland for children.
Oh, absolutely.
Games and snacks.
Sure enough.
So, you probably beg to come over, like,
when my PlayStation VR back? Comes out tomorrow, so
see, whatever that is.
While you girls will be doing whatever you do on your Thursdays, finding out how to get away with murder and things of that nature, mm-hmm. I will be stepping into the world of virtual reality in 2016.
Oh, not VCR.
So
VR. Oh, it's a face thing. It's a mask. It's a helmet. It's
so
a mask.
I will be doing that tomorrow or today.
It's a headset.
You can keep your ass, because
congratulations. That's going to be fun.
I will be pretending to be Batman or whatever shit comes with it.
Is it like the same games but just with 3D glasses on?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's literally, they build games where you put it on and you are in a different,
like Google Glass?
Way better than that.
Wow. I'm excited for you. That sounds very fun.
Speaking of video games, I can also give a shout out to Mafia 3, because Mafia 3 is kind of like a Grand Theft Auto, except you're playing as a black guy in 1969 New Orleans?
Oh, 1960 shit.
Something New Orleans, or as it's called in the game, New Bordeaux, because I guess they couldn't call it New Orleans. I don't know, but it's literally New Orleans with the French ward and everything. And you get to play this black guy who can basically murder racists, the Klan, crooked cops, and at the same time take over the city and become just the shit. So if you're anything like me and you use video games for entertainment as well as therapy, I urge you to go out and give Mafia 3 a chance, because what could be better than...
It doesn't sound very calming.
Are you
Mafia
kidding me?
3? It doesn't sound very soothing. It sounds very mafia.
I mean, it's a game full of violence, gore, and murder. But at the same time, what I'm trying to explain to you is that you get to be a black guy and kill racists.
I'm all for it. I should have been playing this game.
Until you get to play a guy who throws a Klan member into the swamp and watches an alligator eat him, I just don't feel like...
This should be the most popular game amongst black Americans.
I mean, of course they're trying to keep it back, but keep in mind that it's very, very, very true to the times.
Mm.
And it even opens with like a little disclaimer that says, look, we weren't pulling no punches. We thought it would actually be insulting to certain people if we were trying to act like they, you know, white people didn't say nigger.
So,
yes. I just want you to know that it's going to be real aggressive and it's going to, you know, be some hurtful.
So you have to play with the black guy.
No, that's the character of the game.
Oh, that's great. Oh, I thought you meant white people could choose.
No. The main character is black, which, by
well,
the
this
way,
gets better and better.
is a great thing to point out, because most of these games that star somewhere you can play somebody black, it's because you can create a black character. And a lot of those games, the characters still look like a white person with dark skin.
With just dark skin, yeah.
Which is odd. But no.
They still be one, having the blue eyes and everything.
Everything.
Like, you niggas didn't like, even, you couldn't even change the eye color. It's not. The same white boy hair texture. You'd be like, okay.
But you have to play as this black guy, and you, if you want to win, you got to kill some racists. So it's just like, it's the game to play. I feel like it's editor's choice for me.
Give this game to every American.
And you should definitely check it out if you like games and hate racists.
Amen.
So there's that.
Is that it for Black Excellence?
Sure.
All right.
So this week in Shade and Full, lots of lawsuits. Lots and lots of people suing.
Everybody's mad.
Where to start? Okay, we'll start with what I assume is least to most relevant. Okay, no, relevant is like
interesting.
No. That's not the word I would use. Popular? No.
I feel like we're saying the same thing with these words.
How about we do?
I feel like we mean the same thing.
Okay, let's put them in the order of most ridiculous lawsuit to like the one you might actually win.
Okay,
great.
Even better.
So let's start with then the least serious and most foolish. Monice from Love & Hip Hop Hollywood is suing somebody after these rumors that she got pregnant by Shaq while Shaq was married. Someone has started vicious lies. That she was pregnant by Shaquille O'Neal while he was married and I guess didn't keep the baby.
Oh, wow.
And so on and so forth. And she is pressing charges.
Is that on the blog or something?
Yeah, I guess the nigga on the show who blogs is saying
this. Oh,
that
gay nigga.
And so she posted, "My legal team has asked me not to address these lies."
Oh, girl.
Being told via social media. That's what somebody always says. Like, they always tweet something crazy and then they delete it. And then they say, "My legal team has asked me not to speak out anymore." Where's your legal team? Show me the team of legal motherfuckers. Mm-mm. Who told you.
You know better.
You just want to, mm-mm, you know, go there with your shit today and make it seem like.
Your legal team is whoever answers the phone at, like, Peachtree prepaid legal or whatever.
Legal Shield.
Whichever customer service representative answers the phone, like, "Thank you for calling Peachtree prepaid. How may I direct your call?" Like,
You don't have no team.
You're not no Kardashian with lawyers on tap. Like, that, this isn't you, girl. Not even VH1's legal team is your legal team.
And can you sue somebody over a Mona Scott storyline?
Was that, so who came up with the storyline? Was it Mona or was it the homosexual blogger?
I assume that those facts won't come out maybe for another 15 to 20 years.
This lawsuit ain't going nowhere.
When somebody surely starts a documentary or a Lifetime, some sort of programmed extra special show about all of the shit that was real and fake.
Yeah, and this is not going to be part of it. This is not real.
Because nobody even cares, but...
But if this is what you have to do to keep your name in the blogs so that you can keep your spot on Mona's show, then you do whatever you have to
do. Because you have to keep in mind that these things affect the way that she is viewed as a mother. No, not even viewed as a mother, but they affect her son because her son will hear about these things.
But that's what they all do. They all bring it back
to their
motherhood. They all do that.
Yet Mona comes right back around and is like, "Here, you can sign for the next season." And they're like, "I have a pen right here in my pocket." Like,
you know what would help your son out? Only having 2 seasons worth of material to Google instead of like 6.
Or none.
How about you just stop embarrassing yourself on TV?
Or you just don't.
Maybe it would be best for your son to live a life of relative anonymity and not have to grow up with his mama being on the blogs every other weekend for showing her pussy to whichever baller. Like, you could just not be on TV and maybe that would help.
And it's the same thing that goes for Lil Fizz. Like, sir, you can't be backing this woman to a corner all the time talking about her motherhood and what she should be doing and shouldn't be doing as mom when you had a storyline on this show. Sleeping with the same woman who is
and
now...
And moved into her house.
And moved into her home, which I didn't even know about, so it's thanks just, for that.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. Because I'll be watching.
And she is now dating, or pretending to date, Rosa Acosta and The nigga who also dated a woman named Nikki for 10 years.
Yes, that's right. Safari. And that storyline is so fake that not even Rosa Acosta and Safari can pretend like they're actually attracted to Nikki. Like, everybody is just showing up and reading their lines and hoping for the best. And the show is, I mean, it's terrible, but I do watch it. I do. I like to see
it. I feel like what happened was, like, Safari was like, look, I don't want to do this shit, but I don't have anything else to do. And Mona, I feel like Mona really gave him probably more than a couple of those other girls.
Oh, Safari definitely got a big check for this.
So he was like, okay, sure. But what am I going to talk about? And then they, you know, maybe somehow, some way he texts this Nikki girl. And she was like, oh, okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to pretend to date. But let's be in like a love triangle. Hold on, let me get my homegirl on the other line. And so she calls Rosa, and Rosa's like, I guess, like, sure, whatever. You know, I was going to go do Pilates, but if you want to do this too, sure. Who even cares? Nobody cares at this point. Everybody who watched this show know, like, a smooth 25% of it maybe is real. Yeah. Like, the mamas that were fighting on that last episode.
They mean that.
Absolutely watched on this the world premiere.
Lyrica Senior came here to fuck it up, okay?
Listen, the greatest part of that scene actually was Safari, because in my mind, I was like, Safari, sir, what purpose would he possibly serve to this show? He proved it right there.
Yes.
Right then and there. Because not only was that nigga dying laughing the whole time, but then he continued eating.
Yes. He was like, so I just basically sat back and was like, damn, that mama's crazy, you know, and ate my chicken. That's it. That's all I came for.
Like, I don't even know if I can be mad.
That was the whole time I was like, Safari is literally me if I was sitting somewhere and these bitches started acting up.
But you just can't continue to talk about what your children should or shouldn't be exposed to when you could just not do the show anymore. Like, the whole show is embarrassing, girl. Right. So.
And your kids are exposed to this shit because you continue to put yourself in this position. Maybe if you niggas wasn't allergic to getting a job, this wouldn't be the case, but everybody on this show act like they too good to clock in.
And I mean, unless you've got VH1 and pretty much every other website that reports pop blocked on their iPad, they probably already watch it. So, oh, speaking of, Stevie J is suing Jocelyn Hernandez for slander after she claims that she caught him watching gay porn, that he will sleep with anything. I think she tried to get him arrested.
I ain't heard a lie yet.
And, that he may have even molested his own child.
Whoa, now that's serious. The rest of these I can laugh at.
So that's the one where he was like, okay, defamation.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay, well, then you know what? You damn right. Because, yeah, you caught me watching gay porn.
I feel like, duh.
It's like a thing, though, for women to put their exes on blast by saying they do, like, kind of gay shit. Like,
which is
Stevie J and Jocelyn and Old Girl and 50 Cent.
A read in another day.
Yeah, it just, that happens a lot, but alleging that I molested my own child, any child.
Any one of them.
Anyone under 18. But my baby? Oh, you right, bitch. Yeah, no, we going straight to court. You let
Since
that
I
mouth,
can't see you with these hands.
See?
You my lawyers will see
off.
You with these black and white pieces of parchment.
Mm-mm.
That's what they're going to do.
Bitch, you know what you better hope? You better have some receipts, some motherfucking proofs of purchase. You better have some video, photo, text message, bitch, something. You need to have something to prove that I did the shit you said I did.
Otherwise,
that ain't nothing
that
to play
new
about.
Baby that you got inside the womb right now, you won't be around
okay.
that motherfucker
Watch
too
me.
Long. Because I'll throw your ass in the pokey over this one.
Now, you can be as mad as you want to. And Stevie J, probably top three worst baby daddies. So I could see being mad.
All the time.
I could definitely see being mad at Stevie J.
Of each time.
And even talking big shit about him, even though that's your baby daddy, even though you're currently pregnant by him. But girl, you got to know when to stop.
Allegedly.
Right. Again, whoever's inside of there. Apparently Stevie J put him there, but we don't know. However, you got to know when to shut the fuck up. That nigga might let you get away with gay jokes and he broke and he running around with all these hoes and this. But
I mean,
you start talking about.
You can probably prove that.
Right. And then you could probably go open Stevie J's MacBook right now and it wouldn't be too hard to find pornhub.com/M4M/analgaping/whatever.
Right. You'll be in the courthouse and the next thing you know, Jocelyn's sitting on the next side of the room like, I actually have a flash drive full of the evidence that I've copied from his MacBook. If you'd like to go over the history in his Google Chrome, we can do that.
Yeah, but molestation? Oh no, girl, it just got very serious.
Yeah, and I don't even feel like that's something. You can possibly have the receipts for that, because of all of the things you tried to pin on this man, you took all of that time to mention the fact that he could have molested a baby.
Yeah.
You decided to talk about lie detector tests and all this stuff, and then, by the way, he's a child molester.
No, girl.
Because you can't just come and say whatever you want. You cannot.
Or you can say whatever you want to, but not without suffering the consequences.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's just how this works. So
that is something that seriously his child will see.
Right.
That you can't play with. Because the rest of it.
Plus, think about four other baby mamas. You have to think about them and their. What has he done to my child then if he's been around? Like, that's nothing to joke about.
And to top it all off, Basura. I didn't feel like doing rolling the R. I'm sorry. I feel lazy today.
It's all right.
And I just don't even respect you enough to roll.
Well, damn.
Trash. At the end of the day, girl, we've already seen you on TV lying and laughing about being a lie. We've seen you on TV crying in bitches' face just to turn around and go over to, what is the girl's name whose face looked like a butternut squash? The one who got into it. Her friend. Butternut. What is her name?
Oh, God. Jocelyn's friend? Jocelyn got friends?
Whoever she went to and
Carly talked. Hustle. Not Carly Hustle.
Bitch, don't ever disrespect her.
I'm gonna get a text. I'm so sorry, Carly. Not me.
You man, 60-year-old Carly Red.
Carly Red.
But that was not who I was even talking about.
Oh, shit.
I was talking about the other one. Who almost got punched in the face. Didn't Tommy almost smack her?
Oh, the one with the high-pitched
voice. Where Tommy was like, where you know me from? You know me from somewhere?
Oh, yeah. Don. Who wasn't really friends, but then I guess they fake made up for the sake of Mona.
Either way, mama, we've seen you on TV talking about, well, I just ran 5 scams on these bitches with my lying ass, and I think it's hilarious.
Okay.
Cheers to me. So, girl, shut up, you dummy.
Ugh. Girl,
and Stevie J can still eat a hot one because we shall never forget.
I mean, definitely nothing but garbage. But I haven't called that man a molester because I ain't seen no. I'll call him a.
You did ask him about how his daughter would feel.
Yes, I did, because that was a very real question.
Yeah,
right. That was a real question about the way you acting on TV.
Completely different statements.
Totally different than what are you? I don't play like that.
Kim Kardashian is filing a lawsuit against Media Takeout for 3 posts that they put up, I guess, implying that she faked the robbery incident in Paris. A lot of the girls have been gunning for this. I've seen like at least 2 or 3 stories so far. Not from Media Takeout. I actually didn't see any from Media Takeout. But I did see a couple of people in my mentions talking about, well, I guess you better get ready to read the plasma out that bitch because ha ha ha, she's a liar. And I went and read the stories, of course, and I think Huffington Post or somebody posted one.
Yeah, but those aren't real stories. Those are not like opinion articles made.
But it said, well, a source says that this is what happened and
right,
that
that's not actual journalistic effort. That's not a news. She's not breaking news there.
They linked to a website that you could have all clicked on because I did.
And I'm sure it was some gossip trash
very
and not.
Same website.
See?
Had a headline that says Hillary Clinton is going to meet with astronauts to talk about aliens and when they're going to tell us the truth about the 5th wave. Girl, I know y'all want this to be some hot, scandalous Lipton, and it may be. We don't know. But girl, take your time. Do it right. If you're going to expose a bitch, please. And I still, you're going to have to give me this. I'm not putting anything past anybody, but... Mm-hmm. Kim was like, oh, but actually.
Yeah, the fact that she's suing Media Takeout is interesting. Mostly because I feel like Media Takeout is an easy target for a giant celebrity to sue. Because they get sued all the time for their ridiculous headlines and their stories that are based like almost totally and completely not at all, in fact. So,
I didn't know Media Takeout still existed. No shade.
I mean, that too. I haven't clicked on a Media Takeout or a... Who was that other blog that got Worldstar? Oh, my God.
Ooh, I have not about clicked Worldstar on
Worldstar Lincoln Foot.
Okay,
ever,
so I did partake in the occasional fight compilation.
I mean, yes, because that's what Worldstar's for.
Because,
you know, I like fights.
It's been a minute.
But I like fights in real life. I like fights in person. I like to see you really get that bitch.
Very bad example for your children.
I don't like to watch them on tape so much because then I don't get the joy of, you know. And I like a clean fight. I don't like weapons unless everybody has one.
No, I can't see. I don't need any of
I don't like picking up stuff unless everybody has something picked. But you pick up a rock and throw it at a bitch. It's like,
as long as I'm at a distance.
Yeah, I don't like to see people get jumped either. I like to see a fair fight.
No, I can't do jumping.
I like good fights.
I actually can't do jumping. Like, if you jump somebody, honestly, you deserve to reside in at least maybe the fourth or fifth circle of hell. Because that's just not even...
You knew you wasn't going to win, so you had to bring back up. That's some punk shit.
Like, sometimes two people may owe one person an ass whooping, but then you have to just wait your turn. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you have to wait your turn. And if you have two people who owe you an ass whooping, you have to ask yourself, what
Why
did
am
you
I
do?
Fucking up? Yeah.
And what changes can I apply to my life in order for this to not happen again? But
okay.
Sometimes it happens, though. You just have to take your turn. You got to fight fair. I mean, come on.
Yeah. One person can be the lookout while you beat that bitch ass. And then 2 weeks later, you could be her lookout, or that she could be your lookout.
Right.
And then you get to be her ass.
And
but
that
not
goes,
at the same time.
That goes for that dry-haired ramen, oriental ramen noodle hair looking ass bitch from the Bronx who was on this season of the Bad Girls Club, which I will no longer be watching. I don't know why I still watch the Bad Girls Club, because every single season it just pisses me off, and I wonder why certain young ladies can be so mean to each other. Jumping girls and kicking little white girls in the back while they're walking away from a fight. You don't do that. That's weak punk shit. If somebody don't want to fight you and you know they can't fight you, then don't, like, especially if they didn't talk about your mama or assault your brother or somebody, like
something where they have to get their
where
ass
there's
beat.
Just no way around it.
Most of the time it's negotiable.
Most of the time you can negotiate.
I don't have to beat your ass.
Right.
But if you talk about my mama or my nephew, it's almost certainly game over.
I don't care what hands you have or don't.
But it's coming.
It's coming for you. That wasn't the situation. So for you to just try and motherfucking Jackie Chan rush out or kick somebody in the back of their goddamn spine while they're walking away, doing a leaping fucking kick.
Amen. Fall TV.
Trash. Stay in the BX with that. How dare you? After all this hard work, the Cardi B and Remy Ma have been putting in.
That's right. To reclaim the Bronx.
My God.
Shine up the name, and here you come.
Bitch, did you watch the BET Hip Hop Awards?
It aired? Oh, yeah, it did.
Fresh trash.
Wasn't really that bad.
It wasn't like, it was just hilarious how just black and ghetto and just ridiculous. It was real. It was
it's
a lot
on my
fun.
DVR, but I haven't actually sat down and watched.
Such a good time.
I just saw Young and May mad because she said BET fucked up the editing on her cipher and took out a bunch of her stuff. Yeah, apparently a bunch of the artists were like not pleased with the way BET edited that.
Okay, well, I got halfway into it. I don't even know if I saw I haven't seen the Young MA part. Because I turned it off to keep playing Mafia 3. But at the end, like, what I did watch of it was just so good.
Okay.
Like, it was so funny.
Well, then I have to see it. I just do. Is it Black Joy? Because if it's
Joy.
Black Joy, it's not black people on stage celebrating each other and being happy and black.
I didn't see anybody that was unhappy, you know. You ever seem like happy to be there.
That don't sound right.
But it was fun. Whatever. Next. Last lawsuit. Gabrielle Union suing BET over being Mary Jane. Now, God bless this story. I mean, my explanation of this story, because I tried my best to get it. And I think that I do. So, apparently the first season of Being Mary Jane, they shot 8 episodes or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one, maybe they did 12. So, Gabby, if I can call you Gab. Whatever.
Friend.
Gabrielle Douglas Union.
Whomever, really. Just whichever one you want. It doesn't matter.
Gabrielle Justice Union Turner. She doesn't play the wife. Anyway.
I hate you.
She tried to renegotiate her contract to basically get payment for 13 episodes a season, regardless of how many BET ordered, which just sounds
sounds like something you would do if you have been acting for a long time and now you are the star of a TV show.
Because, Burr, I'm tired of it being cold
in here. I mean, that's basically it. And you know, Gabrielle Union is one. That's a face that we've seen for like 2 decades now, and it stays paid.
And fresh.
Right. Oh, no.
Taut.
I mean,
blemish free.
I want to go over and sit down and be like, girl, I don't need to ask about your marriage or nothing. I just want to know about this skincare regimen. I need a product list, and I need to know, like, what kind of facials are we getting?
Maybe that's why she's always promoting her sex life. Because
what
maybe
is
it's
it?
The Dwayne,
the endorphins and
the Dwayne Wade sweat must be what.
Is it Dwayne's like baby batter? Is that it?
I don't know
does
what
it, provide
it is.
The glow?
Because I'm still like, why do we have to know
her
that y'all
skin's
are fucking?
Flawless.
Like she's on the cover. I don't know if it's Control. I don't know if Essence. She's on the cover of a magazine right now with a sickening haircut and like this like leather coat or something on it. And I saw that Dwayne.
Yeah. I just won't.
That's not your name. Anyway,
it isn't.
I mean, that's what your mama calls
it's
you.
Just so spelled just, wrong. It's fine.
That's not how. Whatever. Anyway, he said something like, "Make sure you keep that coat or something. I got plans for it later." And I was just like, "Gross!" Like, I'm somebody who can usually do PDA way more than you, anyway.
Oh, you right.
But I don't need to know about all that. Like, okay, my word.
Oh yeah, I got plans, girl. You gonna come home?
But that's probably her fountain of youth. Her fountain of youth.
I don't. Okay, well, you are mad childish. But anyway, though, that's what you do. When you're Gabrielle Union, you tell BT, I'm getting paid for 13 episodes, no matter if you niggas order two.
I don't have time for this.
Just sweet paid.
So she was supposed to be getting $150,000 an episode for season 4. And then she's supposed to get a rate under her contract. She's supposed to get a raise each season.
Mm-hmm.
So next
that's
season,
standard.
She was supposed to get $165,000 an episode.
Yep. That's,
and again, they're yep. supposed to be shooting 13 episodes, or she's supposed to be paid for 13 episodes for this season, next season, blah, blah, blah. So a week before principal photography for season 4, I guess somebody, whoever at BT told her that they were going to shoot 10 episode seasons back to back. And try and make cram them together to make season 4. So I guess they're trying to shoot for like a 20 episode or whatever season, which isn't like, it's not like abnormal or weird for a show, even an hour drama, to have that many episodes. But
I want my raise halfway through.
Right. So
you can do that if you want to, but I want my 15%.
They tried to give this girl her, you know, 20 episodes or whatever, and then skip out on whatever her raise was be or whatever. So she's suing them for is a breach of contract and negligent misrepresentation.
Wow.
She's suing the network and Breakdown Productions, who I guess is supposed to be part of the show. I don't even think Mara Brock-Akil is still involved in this, is she?
Yeah, I heard that Mara Brock-Akil left, and then there's been some other changes to be in Mary Jane that makes me feel like BET is about to BET on it.
I haven't watched it literally since the finale of the first
season.
Well,
they had me at the end of last season is when they got me, because it stopped being about, well, not that it stopped being about but the very first episode, you know, like the mini movie or whatever, the very first one. I was like, I can't do this show because this is another black woman who has her career and should be happy, but she's still worried about niggas. Like, and I just can't. I'm so fucking tired of that particular story. So I was just like, I can't do this. But then last season, it just got really interesting and some different work dynamic stuff. And then, of course, her family is nuts. So I was really into being Mary Jane last season. Very excited for it to come back. And now I'm hearing that Mara Brock-Akil is gone. And apparently BET is trying to play Gabrielle Union to the side. They done hired Michael Ealy to come in, which is like,
which almost got me to catch up.
I mean, they done hired Michael Ealy to come in, but then also I think they're moving the show. It's not going to be set in LA. It's going to be set in New York now. And I don't know what. Right.
Oh, I did see something on Twitter about, oh, she's moving or something like that. And I was like,
what?
Well, then how is the, because I thought a big part of the show was about her balancing her work and her personal life and her family.
Right. So,
so
I'm wondering
is her
if it
family
has,
moving.
See,
too?
That's the thing. I'm wondering if it has something to do with something that happened last season at work. To the point where it may be like you need to move to New York to get away from this office or something like that. I don't know. But all those changes together, plus the fact that it's on BET, makes me feel like this show maybe has another 2 seasons before it either goes totally to hell, like it's written and shot, like in a horrible manner, or it just gets canceled. One or the other. So it's sad, that would suck. It's surprising because I saw a couple days ago Gabrielle Union tweeting about how excited she was for the new season, and
so they just all this pulled this.
So yeah, they must have just
Gabrielle was like, actually,
or she tweeted about it anyway, knowing that her lawyers were on it. Like, I'm getting my extra $150,000 regardless. So.
This is a woman with a legal team. Right, you can trust your black ass.
Right. She doesn't have to make legal announcements on Instagram. Her lawyers go ahead and file the paperwork on her behalf, and it's done. You only, we only know about this because somebody checks to see who got sued that day. Like, somebody's constantly checking to see who's filing lawsuits or who's getting them or what the fuck ever else. So I hope they work it out, but it just, it's giving me, you know, BET premonition vibes of like, be forewarned, your show is about to go to hell and not be any good, like with the game.
I've always just felt like they start that way, and that's a perfect example because the game was bad immediately on BET. Yeah. The game was good on the CW.
Right.
But then the CW decided that they wanted everything to be white and right, and they axed it.
Yeah.
And I won't forgive them for that. Yes, you got The Flash, and you've got Supergirl or whatever now, and I will continue to watch The Flash because it's good. And I watched Gossip Girl because it was also good, and it was before you canceled the game. However, I will never forget that. They did everything to change that show and be around the guidelines of what the CW said that they wanted it to be, and it was still a good show, and they were like, nope, bye, take your nigger shit on. And
they
every single
no
show they kept
keeping it.
Was a teen white drama, all of them. They got rid of Everybody Hates Chris went too,
which is crazy because before it was the CW, it was the WB, remember that? Mm-hmm. And it was very negro. It was like nothing but black programming back then,
and UPN,
and oh god, yes. And then it, but see, it's something like they bring us in to build up the network, and then once they have the money to attract bigger advertisers or whatever, they're like, oh well, we can just do white programming now, girl.
So much.
Thanks, niggers, appreciate you.
This is us leaving you. Bye bye now. Like, they just put you on a boat and just sail away. It was so nice having you. Anyway, RIP the game and
that
possibly
bye bye
Mary
now took
Jane.
Me out. Oh my god.
Well, those are the lawsuits this week. Here's something that will also take you out.
Oh no. Beyonce? Are we talking about the last
no,
formation?
No, you've seen
date?
Beyonce 7 times this year. which, by the way, Beyonce, cute.
Yes, it was cute, actually. It was very motherfucking
very
cute.
Very cute. Have a great time.
Oh yes.
I see that that was the show that you decided
it was.
Not only to do things you hadn't done at other shows, but to bring people out. And also, I guess that's when you accepted plus ones.
Because oh my God, everybody it was so good.
Everybody was there. Like, like Brandy from Love Hip Hop even got to take her little picture and pretend she really is best friends with her. Like, everybody was allowed to come
the
that
Hamilton
day
cast was
like,
there.
I'm done. Like, I'm finished.
She didn't care who came backstage. Oh, did you see all the group pictures and shit? I said, Beyonce is letting literally anybody with a wristband come back.
Yeah, whatever, nigga. I'm finished.
I'm going home after this anyway, so yeah. But yes, you know, new outfits. And she did 6-inch.
I saw.
Serena came out.
That was great.
And she, her husband came out. I think she did that for The Hive, actually. I think she brought Jay out so that The Hive could start the forgiving and healing process.
Yes.
Because we're still pretty, it's still very ouchy with Sean Carter. So this Hive needed to see Beyonce embrace him on that big stage so that we could start to forgive him and move forward the way she has. Okay. I truly believe that. And then, of course, Kendrick.
Well, not Beyonce, but somebody who thinks that she's Beyonce. Kenya Moore. Kenya Moore has gone on Instagram offering one person who is 21 or up.
It can't be this bad. 21, so it must be a drinking thing. Please, please let it be a sponsored by Captain Morgan's night with Kenya Moore, and you get drunk, and then she tells you,
win a trip to Atlanta and an exclusive tour of Morgan.
What? Tour of what? Her house? Don't say her house. Do not say her house.
Morgan.
Are you fucking serious? A tour of her house? So the prize is a flight to Atlanta, and you get to go look at her house.
an exclusive trip.
Oh, no.
Airfare, hotel, transportation to and from Moore Manor.
Not Moore Manor.
And $100 total per diem.
Oh, my God. Well, first of all, $100 per diem in Atlanta is just fine. You can get... Nah, you could get plenty to eat in Atlanta for $100.
You can at least fill your belly and get fucked up off of $100 in Atlanta.
But why is Kenya Moore giving... What is this?
I have no... Like,
why is this happening?
For what? Like, why? Why? Why would you want a stranger to come into your newly renovated, brand new built ass house?
Is she seriously, unironically calling it Moore Manor?
Oh, absolutely. It's on the flyer. Oh, the God. Date is on November 6th. To enter, you must be following the Kenya Moore on Instagram. Tag 5 of your followers under the post and shout out your city. So if you or anyone you know
if you tag me, you get blocked.
In,
don't look, tag me to this post.
Meet, and I'm not joking.
Not playing either, right?
I'm so serious.
You gonna come around, oh my God, Crystal, you really blocked me. Yes.
I will immediately block you.
I did.
Nobody will convince me to unblock you. You will be gone forever. Just
y'all
to
play
let
too
you know.
Much. Don't do this.
But this is hilarious.
Hey, y'all, in case you didn't have nothing else to do, come to Atlanta and see my house. What?
Like, what do you tell your friends and family when you are explaining that you're going on a trip to Atlanta to go
see Kenya Moore's house?
Have a tour of Kenya Moore's house.
And when they say, who's Kenya Moore? Then how do you explain that to them?
She's the crazy one on the Real Housewives of Atlanta.
I see. So you're going to go to Atlanta.
A crazy woman's house.
Mm-hmm. You're going to go inside her home. Okay, okay,
cool.
Okay. Just you? I mean, can you take a friend at least?
One person.
Oh, no, trash.
21 or older.
Trash. Who's going by themselves? Oh, what a
somebody
shitty gift.
As batty as her.
It might be okay if you and a friend could go and y'all
that's
could get high
thinking.
Beforehand and laugh. But girl, one person? That's how she wants to make sure it's like a super fan. Like somebody who's actually a Kenya Moore stan. Which out of the 15 people that exist who identify that way. Because who the fuck else would go?
You only have to get on Twitter and tag 5 people. Do you know how many people don't give a fuck about Kenya Moore that are going to enter this? Like, somebody could win this and go to Kenya Moore's house and punch her in the titty and then leave. Like, how do you know? This is so dumb.
This is right. This is a bad idea. I mean, and if it's a promotional tool, then it doesn't work. Because what exactly are you promoting? The existence of your house?
The fact that you have a place to live?
What is right? It just doesn't make sense. Who's paying for this? And for what purpose?
Like, it's not...
Maybe that's why it's just one, because Kenya's paying. She's like, bitch, I'm paying for one ticket, one person to stay at the Holiday Inn, $100 for you each day.
To go right down a little 5 points.
That must... Okay. To go right... To take your ass right on down
make
to the Popeyes Gladys Knight, which I don't even think is still open.
I don't think so. I don't know
they stay getting a bad grade on the health.
I went once. One time.
And right, it's like chicken and waffles. I've had better. No shade. But I heard Gladys Knight's was way better when it first opened. But anyway, it's just so many. This is trash. This is trash
understand.
And it's done. It's done.
I don't understand.
Is Mona making her do this? Is Bravo Andy going to be there? Like, you have to tell me something. Why would I want to go to your house? Sell it to me, girl. Why do I want to win this?
See, and this is the problem with people who motherfucking ain't from Atlanta, but then move to Atlanta and create these lavish fake ass lifestyles about how, oh my goodness, I'm so sickening because the cost of living here isn't what it was where I used to live before. And I have a couple of extra dollars to go down to Lenox and buy whatever
Stunt.
The fuck. Not at Phipps.
Oh, I was about to say, these bitches want to go to Phipps.
No. I'm being realistic. To go down to Lenox and buy a couple of little heels or whatever and do this. Girl, don't nobody give a fuck about Moore Manor. It's not the Neverland Ranch, bitch. Do you have a roller coaster?
Right.
Because if you don't, I don't care about your furniture.
Right.
I don't
exactly.
care about your rented couch. I don't care about your chandeliers. Like, are you at least going to have a chef come in and prepare them a fancy meal? Or are you just going to...
This isn't Paisley Park. No one wants to visit. There isn't... What is there to see other than you and your things?
You can see his remains there, by the way.
They're there?
That's what I read today.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Has he been cremated or is it like...
I'm assuming. I hope so.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I don't hope so, but God only... I mean...
Oh, man. I don't want to read up on that because it's going to make me sad. I'm hoping it's not like a money-making thing for his sister.
I don't... Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
let's not get
story.
Into sad news, so...
Oh, too late because apparently... apparently Drake and Rihanna were an exclusive couple. And they are no longer one. It just isn't. I felt like I might as well just mention it.
Right.
Niggas are like heartbroken.
You brought it up to be like, let's talk about it, because this is not a news story.
It just isn't. Like,
they didn't. That I very much doubt they were ever in a real relationship.
I don't think so.
I don't. So maybe they quit fucking around. Maybe.
Rihanna
maybe.
Did post something on Instagram, and I saw this when she posted it. And it was like one of those little meme captiony things, and it said, none of my exes are married or in a happy relationship, so I guess it's safe to say that I wasn't the problem. And then the caption was hashtag trophy. It was like the trophy emoji, and you know that that's a...
Yeah, that's a Drake song.
But either way... and he posted a photo of his daddy in a very purple suit. The caption says, when she accuses you of something you didn't do and you got proof. I just don't care.
His
you
daddy
know?
Like an old tacky nigga too, boy. He dressed like...
His daddy look like he still got bitches
His daddy
scrolling.
Look like a like cat daddy. That's exactly what he looks like.
His daddy like he walking through the room and be like, boy, I tell you, boy, you got to get these bitches in order, boy. Like one of them niggas.
Now,
like,
let me tell you about these here females, boy.
Boy, I tell you, all right. Like...
Okay. Woo, yeah.
But, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, maybe Rihanna was just like, okay, girl, guess what?
This is cute.
Finished. This was fun. Okay.
And they'll end up probably doing it again at some point. I think that Drake and Rihanna might be like another Friday movie or like Bad Boys 3 or a Fugees album.
Where it never really stops.
It's just like you would like, for, like in theory, this would be like a really dope thing to happen. But,
oh my God.
It just may not ever happen. And you have to make peace with the fact that it just won't.
Album. You ain't sure.
That is never going to happen.
And it oughtn't. And it ought.
But there was a long, long time where we wanted that to happen.
You're right.
And we
hindsight's
are now
2020.
Made a peep.
We see better.
Not only is it not going to happen, it just doesn't need to.
Right, exactly. That's exactly where it needs to stay.
Same thing with a Lauryn Hill album. Not only is it never going to happen, it doesn't have
to. She can barely tour. So what you mean album? That takes a lot of sitting down in one spot at a time. So I don't know.
Well, they're seeing each other at the moment. Somebody allegedly told E! News they're not exclusive anymore. They still love each other. Blah, blah, blah. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah,
whatever.
Who cares?
That's great. Rihanna is still fine. And Drake has an amazing body.
Drake had to cancel his tour.
Charisma. For what?
His ankle. He hurt his ankle somehow.
Well, he just announced a tour named after Boy Meets World. So,
was it called Drake Meets... It's not
it's called
Drake Meets
the
World.
The Boy Meets World.
Oh,
tour.
The Boy Meets World. Okay, I thought you meant like it was a playoff of Boy Meets World. And I was going to be like, is it the Drake
the
and Topanga tour? Because you never know. I'm sure
you
Drake
really
had a
don't.
Crush on Topanga like every other nigga.
Who?
They all did.
I mean.
They all
of
did.
Of course he did. I feel like Drake probably still writes in his journal little letters to Topanga like you're out there somewhere.
and back in the day, you was really holding my.
Because what's her name? Not Alexis Bledel. What was it?
Off of Gossip. I mean, not Gossip Girl.
That was Gilmore Girls.
Gilmore Girls.
What was Topanga was, I know this.
Her real name?
Is, she dated Lance Bass.
Whoa. Damn.
I mean, that was a hard time
So
for
I'm
her.
Not the only one who used to date gay niggas. Danielle Fischel.
Danielle Fischel.
Fischel.
Fish. Yep. Anyway, she's okay. Still beautiful. Like, she's still gorgeous. Because now they do Girl Meets
yeah,
World.
Yeah, she's also saying she's a mama on Girl Meets World, which is real cute.
She's still fine. Anyway, yeah, that's it for Shade and Fall.
All right, woohoo, let's go.
Hey, folks, today's episode of The Read is being brought to you by HBO's newest comedy series that we love, Insecure. The modern-day black woman is usually portrayed as a strong, confident, and damn near flawless individual. But Issa and Molly of Insecure are not killing it at all. Issa and Molly are just trying to make it through the day without kids calling them ridiculous names at work, without white people getting on their nerves, without hopeless, worthless dudes ruining their love lives. And they're just doing their best they can. And occasionally they get together to eat Cheetos and dip.
And that's just the realest, you know? That's
it's
just,
created by...
It's real life.
And executive produced by... and starring Issa Rae.
That's right.
And it's exclusively on HBO. You can watch it right now. They just started on October 9th, and I can't wait to see the next episode because it's been too long.
Yeah.
You work with them. Tell us more.
I was just about to say. So first of all, shout out to Issa and Insecure. The first episode just came out this past Sunday. Looking forward to tuning in every Sunday on HBO to catch out the entire series. But you can also listen every week with me and Fran from Hey Fran Hey in the Friend Zone as we do Insecurity, which is the official HBO weekly recap podcast for Insecure. And we're going to be sitting down talking about each episode and just how it identifies, you know, with our lives and just all the different ways that Insecure is dope and amazing and just relevant to what we're going through. So again, make sure you check out Insecure, starring the very amazing, beautiful, talented, just everything, Issa Rae.
Glowing and snatched.
I mean, and just gorgeous. And she's on like all these, I've been seeing her on like her promo tour, and she just is beautiful. And the glow up is so incredibly real. It's shot in and around South LA, and you definitely do not want to miss out. From the music to the comedy to the acting, there is nothing like Insecure on TV right now. It's exactly what we need. So again, tune in every Sunday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern and Pacific to watch Insecure exclusively on HBO. And don't forget to check out our new podcast, Insecurity, airing every week right here, thanks to HBO and the Loudspeakers Network. Now let's get back to the show.
So,
yes,
we're back and it's time for listener letters that hopefully don't involve semen and feces.
Well, they may and they may not. You just never know when you go into the inbox. Send your questions to asktheread@gmail.com.
I would just like to apologize once again.
I don't know why, because it wasn't that bad.
Was so gross.
It was not that bad.
It wasn't even the issue that this young man needed help with. It was that he decided to write in just picturesque detail. Oh God.
And I feel like everybody loved it. So.
Oh, okay.
It's not that.
Everybody but me.
I mean, there actually was quite a bit of feedback about, girl, I was eating when that started, and now you have ruined. I'm sorry.
Like,
honestly,
what if you were having a tuna salad sandwich?
It's 3.5 years into this show. You should already know what's up. So our first question comes from somebody who calls himself a part-time bottom.
Oh, God. Here we go.
And he says,
like, straight away.
My fiance and I have been together for a little over 2 years.
Well, okay.
We're both in our late 20s, and for the most part, everything's going great. We have issues like any other couple, but we do a wonderful job at communicating and solving our problems. Yes, fiance.
All right.
However, there is one problem we've had from day one that has yet to be solved. Neither of us wants to bottom. Before we officially got together...
How long have they been doing this again?
A little over 2 years is when they've been together. Before we got together, I told him I was not a bottom. At that time, I had only topped and had never bottomed, but I still considered myself verse. He told me he was not a bottom and that it hurt too much. In the beginning, I didn't mind bottoming with him because he isn't that big. It wasn't that often, and I was getting ass from other guys. However, since we've been more serious and entered into a relationship, I cut off my side niggas and became monogamous to my man. However, the issue is that he still refuses to bottom. In the past 2 years, I've been the only one to bottom, and I cannot take it. I can't take it anymore. We've had some heated discussions, and I've even tried to be the bigger person. I think you are the bigger person, bro. Woo! So, to compromise, I offered to bottom 3 out of every 4 times we have sex. And for the sake of the argument, he agreed. But when his time comes around, there's always some excuse. I've stopped giving up the cakes. We hardly have sex, and I don't know what to do. We live together and have combined all of our income and bills. I love this man with everything in me. We are planning our April wedding in spite of these serious sexual issues. I'm worried that things won't change, and I'm signing myself up for a lifetime of bottoming or no sex at all. The part that aggravates me is that in all 3 of his past relationships, he was primarily the bottom, but now all of a sudden the nigga want to act like he too good for some dick. I don't want to walk away from the man of my dreams because we're not compatible in the bedroom.
Oh, my God.
Please help. Sincerely, I'm wrapping up, so you can come over here, give us your opinion now. Part-time bottom, working 40 hours. Thank you, bottom, for your email. Thank you for it not being about bodily fluids or anything else like that. I'm sure Kifuri appreciates it.
You know, I don't know what's going on.
That's a real issue. I felt like that was a real question, was it not?
Sure.
And it's about sex, but it's not like messy or nothing. I didn't want to pick like some terrible question.
So, first of all, I can't understand why for the life of me you're getting married after 2 years. But I think that maybe we're in a different generation now where the girls are just ready real quick. Because it's not like, I mean, 2 years for a lot of motherfuckers is like forever, I guess, these days.
Basically.
But, like, I'd be still learning shit about a nigga, like, after three. Are you kidding?
What? Oh, no. 3 years is, no. Nah. But see, at the age I'm at now, I don't give a fuck if I get married or not. So it is what it is.
I truly don't either. But I'm just saying 2 years to me just sounds too quick. But
okay, I'm going to let you have it.
But since, I mean, again, you're a lesbian, so that's different.
I'm not a lesbian, but it is what it is. Don't do this to me right now. We are talking about the part-time bottom. He needs our help.
If you guys can't settle whatever sexual differences you're having at the moment, then I would seriously consider slowing down this relationship. Because especially as men, it's going to come to a place where enough is too much. What was the cartoon who said enough is too much? Was it the owl? Oh, yeah, it was the racist one. Okay, never mind. Anyway, the point is that you have to just get to a place where you can start to agree. Now, this nigga sounds to me like he's being lazy. I mean, kind of both of y'all do. I mean, this, you got to suck it up and just...
Y'all can't just split it equally down the middle?
That's up to them, you know, but one of them doesn't sound like he wants to do it ever. So that is going to be the issue. If he's just like making up excuses and never doing it or whatever, then y'all just going to not have a sex life. And then you're going to start fucking other people. And then that's going to be an issue. And then, oh God, and fighting and yelling and, you know, storming down to Pride and not telling this nigga. And then y'all fight on the yacht or whatever the fuck we do. I don't know.
Sexual incompatibility is a big issue.
It really is. It sounds shallow, but
I would stop planning the wedding until you can work that part out. No, it's not shallow. Like, y'all haven't figured out how to most comfortably have sex on a regular basis. That's a real issue that is, like, going to affect your relationship.
I don't know what you're working with, and I don't care. So.
Well, he says his man is smaller than he is.
Again, I don't know what you're working with, and I don't care. What it sounds like... it sounds like your boyfriend, fiance, whatever, could use some practice, encouragement, motivation.
Come on, encouragement.
And learn to love it. You know, there was a time in my early intro to gay where I was like, you know, I guess that I just don't like sex because if that's what I'm supposed to be able to enjoy, that torturous shit that you just put me through, I just guess that I can't do this.
Oh, God.
But you figure it out.
Okay. See, I think that type of advice is very helpful.
The way that I look at sex now as a bottom anyway is completely different than when I first started having sex. Because at first I was just like, this is ridiculous. Like, why does anybody agree to do this?
And probably a lot of gay kids are like, why do I feel the desire to do this? I don't know why I want to sleep with you.
That used to be my thing. Like, why do I want to do something that is just not so awful? Like, it's not like I was curious. Like, I really want this to happen, but it sucks. And then you just find the right person to be patient and to teach you, oh, this is why it's great. And then it's like, oh, it really? That's what this nigga needs to do. And I would suggest that y'all do find a way to split it down the middle if you can. Otherwise, you're going to have to just, I don't know, break up or do the open relationship thing that most of these other married niggas do.
I mean, 2 years, though? Come on. Like, this just seems...
I could break up with a nigga after 2 years over something like this.
No, definitely. Like, but just like, why? If he bottomed in his past three relationships, why is it such an issue for him to bottom now? And how come? I mean, I guess if you just really don't like it, it hurts or whatever, then you just really don't want to do it. But you can't expect the person you with who also does not enjoy bottoming to just all of a sudden be a bottom for that. So y'all gonna have to figure it out. Good luck to you.
Everyone's the top until they're not.
You know, that should be on a t-shirt because a lot of people out here think they tops.
Have at it.
And then when it really comes down
to brass tacks. But anyway, our next question comes from Nay, who's asking for advice. She says, I'm a 30-year-old black female, no kids. I work in corporate IT, and I just purchased my first house in Chicago.
Well, good the fuck for you.
I know, right? I met an Indian ICU doctor on Bumble who's 33 with no kids and owns a condo downtown. Bumble? Bumble's one of them apps. It's a dating app. I say this to say that we both look good on paper and we have great conversations on race, politics, love, etc. And we have not had sex. We both want to take our time. Aww. We got on the topic of sexuality and he says, I'm probably a little more feminine than your average black guy. And I said, that's fine as long as you don't actually like men. He then said, well, we've all experimented. I was in a 2.5 year long relationship with a man, but I'm not bi and I don't like guys.
But
I told him that I was sorry, but that we just cannot date. If it was a one-off thing, then that would have been okay. That was his bisexual past or whatever. But a relationship, I just cannot seem to get over. I have gay friends. My brother is gay and has dated women before, but he is now married to a man. Did I judge this guy too quickly? Should he have gotten a pass? Thanks, Nay.
Let me say this.
Oh, Lord.
This is okay. This ties into the extensive conversation involving DL men, because most you get to a point where even gay people refuse to acknowledge bisexual men. I've heard so many gay people say that they don't think that that men can really be bisexual.
Oh yeah, definitely something I used to say like a decade ago.
And it's just that, girl, the ones that are bisexual are on the DL because right. they can't say, I like niggas, because then they might as
because
well
then
just
gay.
Be gay.
Right,
you know
exactly.
what I'm saying? They can't ever go to a girl and say, hey, I like guys, you know, too, or I've dated guys in the past, because most women, especially women of color, will be like, that was so nice of you to be honest with me. Whenever you would like someone to go shopping with down at Saks, your girl, call me up. It was so nice. I'll take the check now. Don't worry. I got my half.
My
and
half.
We can go. Like, the girls always cut and run when they hear that a nigga may have been attracted to men at one point. And it's complicated for me because I feel like a part of me can't blame you. But then another part is kind of like, well, why not give a nigga a chance? You know what I'm saying? Because if he's not sleeping with men while he's with you, then what difference would it make? Because if he's fucking a dude while he's fucking you, then that means the nigga cheated. You know what I'm saying? Right. He could be fucking a girl. Like, to me, there's no real... I mean, there are differences, but it's not...
Not in that context. If you're getting cheated on, to me, it doesn't matter if I got cheated on by a dude or a girl. I understand some people will feel a way, especially if you didn't already know about his sexuality, but I don't really care. The point is that I got cheated on.
Right.
Not that you put it in somebody else's ass as opposed to a vagina.
But I've always thought to myself, like, for a long time, I said I didn't want to date any guys that were bisexual anymore because I feel like there's a part of you that is sexually attracted or stimulated to something that I can't provide. Mm-hmm. And so there's no telling that down the line you're gonna wanna go and fuck this other existence
person, right.
because I don't have that. You know what I'm saying? Now, that shouldn't necessarily stop you from dating the person, because if you have a healthy relationship, then that person should be honest with you enough to be like, I'm struggling here. What right. can we do?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But to just be, I don't think that is what stops a lot of women from dating guys that have dealt with men before. I think it's just the idea of it grosses them out and they don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And so that is why there are so many men that then get demonized for keeping it to themselves. But it's like, well, I like girls and I like guys. And I know that regardless of whether or not I want to date girls, I'm going to get shat on for liking guys.
Right.
But if I also decide that I do want to date a girl, I have to keep that shit to myself because no girl will want to date me. So it's a complicated place that men like that are. And he's actually real badass and bold to even come forward and tell right. you the truth. You know what I'm saying?
Especially if he doesn't claim a bi identity. I don't know that I would tell women that I had ever been in a relationship with a man then. If you feel like, you know, that was something you did, but not something you would ever want to do again.
It just seems
I mean, the thing that sounds weird to me is that he said that he was in a relationship with a nigga but doesn't consider himself to
for
be bi.
For 2.5 years and still does not have a bi identity.
2.5 I mean, according to the previous letter, bitch, he could have been married. Like, so,
you're right.
I mean, at that point, and I know some people are like, I don't like labels. And I'm like, well, you don't have to call yourself bisexual, but that's what you are, girl. Like, you know what I'm saying? I won't go around saying, well, he's bi. Right. This is my homegirl.
You don't like being called that. But,
I will respect that.
Right.
But just. But
that doesn't mean you don't fit the definition,
that's
maybe.
That's just what that is. You know, so that's what I, that's how I see you, but I won't call you
right,
that.
Right, right.
So, I mean, you, it's your choice to date whoever you want to, and I don't think it's necessarily fair in this situation for me to say, well, you aren't being open-minded enough or whatever, because, I mean, I sort of get it that it's complicated, but mm-hmm. I just want for people to be aware of this thought process and how it affects guys like him or mm-hmm. any other guy that could be, that is attracted to both sexes or who is pansexual or whatever the fuck. So just food for thought, maybe.
Yeah, I
a
don't.
A little cupcake for your brain.
I think you may have let a good one go. I think, I think so. I mean, he's an ICU doctor. He's 33. He owns his own home and he has no children.
I thought that she said that she was the person who did had all
these
things.
She's 30, no kids. She works in corporate IT and just bought her first house. He's a doctor, 33, no kids, owns a condo. So it's like both of you are doing just fine. But like this man sounds ideal to me. Like, personally, mm-hmm. as far as no kids and career is concerned.
But you are so sexually fluid.
I am. But I'm thinking about it, and I'm trying to put myself in a heterosexual woman's place.
Don't waste your time.
Right, which is the challenge. But if you're 30, you meet a 33-year-old. He's great on paper in every other way. And he had a relationship a while back with a man that is over. He says he's no longer attracted to men. And he doesn't even claim bisexuality. It's kind of like, yeah, initially I may be a little bit off put, like, oh my God, you used to fuck a nigga for like years. But then, I don't know. I feel like I would get over that. I do. I feel like I would get over that, but maybe not. It just seems like that's not big enough for me to be like, oh, I'm going to write you off entirely.
I mean, right. But I think that we as queer people, we have a different outlook right. on this type
that's
of thing.
That's why I'm trying to put myself in a totally heterosexual woman's shoes.
Like, I just think that by default, we think differently when it comes to this type of thing because we get it and we understand it from a different. It's not as complicated, I think, as people who are just led and brought up.
I mean, because of all the things a man could say that he was or had done, he was in a relationship with another man for a couple of years and it's over. Like, I mean,
to you, that sounds like nothing. To me, it don't sound like shit either. But to like straight men and women, it sounds like, oh my God.
But like, what does
and Tyler Perry hasn't written a movie about this.
What do you let straight men say to you and walk or like let pass as opposed to this?
I would say put it like this. There's a great chance
that
you either could in the future or maybe even have dated a guy who has dated men and wouldn't tell you, never told you, won't tell you, and you would never fucking know.
Because of this reaction.
Because of this. So the fact that he was even honest enough this early on to tell you that, I feel like is a good sign of his honesty. And I think that at least you can know that since he told you that if you did continue to date him, that if he... Because if you did continue to date him and he's telling you he's not bisexual, he's not interested in a man and that sort of thing or whatever, then all you have to do, all you can do at that point is take him for his word and hope that he'll be honest with you. So if he's being honest with you at this point, which most niggas would not be honest about, then I think that that's a good sign that he would be honest with you in the future. So you could be able to, you should be able to trust him and take his word for it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would date him because like you said, he sounds great on paper.
Right. Everything else is fantastic.
I would just, you know, it's
and
not
I
like.
See you doctor, that means he works a lot. He ain't gonna be at my house all the time getting on my nerves.
It's not like an arranged marriage where you stuck, you know what I'm saying, or like somebody else is choosing, you gotta be with this nigga. So
but
do you, girl?
Yeah, talk to him. Well, I don't know if you can talk to him about it because y'all probably not gonna see each other again, but
just know that he might meet a girl in the future that he really really fucking likes and he'll think twice about saying that shit to her the next time. Or if somebody
this is what people
asks.
Talk about when they talk about biphobia, though, like even though this man doesn't claim bi-ness, the fact that he has been with a man and a woman before is why you look at him like that. Like that's, and the fact that he was in a relationship with another man is why you look at him that way. And that type of reaction, like Kid Fury said, is why people don't come out, especially by men. We let by women get away with a lot more as far as like acceptance is concerned. But bi men just aren't allowed to exist and be bi. Because once they say they're gay, we just assume that all they want is ass and dick. So
right. They're just greedy.
But good luck in your dating endeavors, girl. Let us know how it goes. Our last question comes from Harmonica, which I just made up. Sure. And she says, my daughter's father and I have a great relationship. We're good friends and have always supported each other. We're both in good relationships. He's engaged and I'm married. About 7 months ago, after buying a new house and beginning major renovations, I got pregnant. Fast forward, I've had the baby and renovations are still going. Life was going great until I got laid off. My daughter's father reached out a few days ago, shared that he got a new contract with a nice signing bonus, and he thought it would be best to give that money to me. I talked to my husband about it, and the conversation ended with, it's your decision, which is basically man speak for, I'm not with this, but I won't say no.
Right.
I know no matter how well both of these men get along, my daughter's dad giving us a nice chunk of dough is a male pride blow. I don't want it to be an area of contention going forward, but real life, we could use this money, so what would you guys do? And then there's a bunch down here about how she is in love with you. She was pregnant at your first Furious Thoughts show in New York. It said she waddled right in front of you, but then you gave her a duster.
Did I?
I'm sure he didn't, girl. That's just his face.
Yeah.
He don't look at pregnant people like that.
I definitely don't.
So, but anyway, this
and
is a very sweet note here at the bottom.
A whole little section about having kids. But
oh, yeah. And how, yeah, you did. And she says come back to Philly. But anyway, that's Harmonica's question. What do you do in this situation?
Deposit my motherfucking check.
Ain't that it? Especially if he ain't paid child support. Especially if he ain't never paid child support.
Like, your husband's just gonna have to deal.
Yeah.
Because, first of all,
male pride or whatever, girl. Get over it.
It would be one thing if he was giving you some money because you lost your job, but you have a child with this man, so mm-hmm. it's his duty to give you money. Like, he's supposed to.
Right.
So, if he got some extra and he knows maybe that you having some trouble or whatever, like, why shouldn't he? That's something that's just nigga shit. Like, that's ego yeah. stuff that he will eventually get over and see that you made the right decision. And if he can't, tough tit.
But so much of what women have to deal with is like trying to figure out how to solve problems without hurting men's feelings or damaging their egos. And
like,
I just don't
literally
have time.
Never do that.
Niggas' feelings are just collateral damage. If your feelings get hurt, oh well. That's not my fault. Nobody told you to keep your feelings in the way. Because niggas be having their feelings in the way for no reason. Like, now maybe you do feel a way, like as a husband or a provider, like, oh, you know, we're going through a tough time and I don't want my wife to have to accept help from anybody else. But you just got to be real with yourself. Your wife getting laid off and losing her job, that's something that could happen to anybody. And anybody. What?
This is an episode of Martin.
Of Martin? Is it?
Gina borrowed like $20 from Cole.
Oh, God. And Martin had a fit.
Martin was pissed the whole episode.
And that was just $20. You're talking about this man's signing bonus. So I'm assuming it's at least a few thousand. Anybody could have a situation in life where they need money or need help. And again, like, she has a baby with this man. So it's not inconceivable that the person to help would be the person who fathered, you know, your stepchild. So if he feels a way about it, again, like, that's just, you okay, go ahead and simmer in your feelings. And even better, let's talk it out. Let's go ahead and talk it out and be rational about these feelings. Like, I would love to sit here with you.
Don't talk it out with me.
But as a wife, I'm going to sit here with my husband and talk to him about the way he's feeling, you know, challenged or inferior, whatever it is he's feeling. I'm going to sit here and talk to you about it. Hopefully we can be rational and help you get to a place where you feel better about it. Because what I'm finna do is call my baby daddy and be like, how quick can you drop off the check? Like, so, when can it come? So
Western Union.
Right. You've been laid off. You already have a baby. You have a new baby. You got a husband and you've been doing renovations. Now is not the time to not have money. So
I don't
want
to talk to you about it because
check.
I'm going to be sarcastic to you the whole time. Oh, really? You have feelings about it? So what is
your
plan?
Male pride hurt? Oh, you're like not a man now?
Your little feelings.
Your poor big man. Your penis just feels like it shrunk a little bit now. Like, it's not even the same anymore.
No. Oh, my God. Well, I'm totally going to go get married to him instead.
Because he's a real man who can pay my bills and you aren't.
Oh, my gosh. I just needed his help so bad because you're so inadequate.
And just tease niggas.
Like, that's all I would do.
This is why I'm a horrible girlfriend. girlfriend.
Like, are you fucking serious right now? You mad because we got some money that you ain't got to take out of your pocket? Shut up.
But see, this is why we're girlfriends and boyfriends and not husbands or wives.
Absolutely. This is why I never have a successful relationship with a nigga, because I don't care about
fuck your feelings. All right. Send your questions to asktheread@gmail.com. We'll be back.
Hey, thanks again to Squarespace for sponsoring this week's episode of The Read. Listen, starting your own business can be quite difficult, but developing your online presence does not have to be. Google and Squarespace have teamed up to give small business owners what they need to succeed online. A custom domain, you have to have one. Mm-hmm. A business email, also. And a beautiful website, please. All in one place. With Google and Squarespace, you can stand out, look professional, and increase your team's productivity. When you create your Squarespace business website online, you'll receive a free year of business email and professional tools from Google, and that's G-O-O-G-L-E. I know some of you girls haven't heard of her.
Google's our best friend around these parts. And of course, we use Squarespace on thisistheread.com. It's super simple and intuitive. If I can do it, literally anyone can. Seriously, that easy. All you have to do is go to squarespace.com/Google to start your free trial and use offer code domain for 10% off your first purchase. That's squarespace.com/Google. Go ahead and get that free trial started and make sure you use offer code domain for 10% off. Google and Squarespace, make it professional and make it beautiful. And let's move on.
This week's episode is also being brought to you by Bevel, Tristan Walker, and I guess Nas, because...
Signature Fades.
Bevel Blades. That's how it works. So do not forget to go over and make sure that you're getting your hair and your skin and things like that in line, no pun intended, with Bevel. Bevel is dermatologist approved, which is basically a fancy way of saying they legit, and proven to reduce and prevent razor bumps, discoloration, and irritation. So make sure that you go and get one with your pre-shave oil, your badger brush, safety razors, and all kinds of other fun gadgets right now.
Yes, and it comes in a really cute case. It makes a great gift. We're rolling up on holiday season, so make sure you head over to Bevel by going to getbevel.com/read. That's right, new website, getbevel.com/read, and enter promo code TheRead at checkout to save 20% on your first month's order. It's not just for the guys, ladies. We like to say stay smooth and sexy and keep our skin feeling luxurious and all that. So again, getbevel.com/READ and enter code TheRead at checkout to save 20% on your first month's order. Let Bevel know that the sexy people over at The Read sent you. That was a lot. Okay, let's finish the show.
So we're back and it's time for The Read now.
Yeah, it is. Do you want me to go first or do you want to go first? What is your read about? Did you watch the debate? I feel like it's about the debate.
My read is not about the debate. Okay. Actually, the debate is still on my DVR. I was in the airport at Chicago and I watched like a little tiny chunk of it. But then when I was on the airplane headed home, I saw a whole bunch of comments about how embarrassing it was. I haven't watched it yet.
It was only embarrassed if you feel any sort of pride in America or any sort of like ownership or belonging to this country. It was embarrassing. Like that.
But see, I still feel embarrassment when some of these things happen just because I live here and there's nothing I can do about it. And right. Like everywhere I go, I will be known as an American and this will be tied to that.
Donald Trump was acting like a 5-year-old on stage. Like when I'm not.
Doesn't he?
But like pouting, folding his arms and like huffing and you guys are teaming up against me and y'all let her talk and y'all not let me talk and now it's 1-3 and that's not fair. Like I'm quoting him. I'm not being ridiculous. Playground antics from a 5-year-old. That's following her around on stage, like stalking her, standing over her. It was creepy. It was weird. It was crazy. And he would not shut up. It was really bad. It was really bad. This country's a fucking joke. But anyway, what's up?
So I guess my read, God bless it this week, because like I said, I'm all over the place. I'm going to do my best here. But... someone by the name of, I guess it just is Special Cloth is this woman's name. And she wrote an article on Medium that said, this is the title, Birth of a Nation's Box Office Flop and the Unrepentant Pettiness of Black Feminists. Basically, this black woman wrote an entire think piece on the think piece website where anybody can post one when you don't have an actual publication to post your think pieces.
Which is kind of crazy because anybody can get a Tumblr, but...
I mean, But medium gives you like a little, it gives you a pizzazz.
It does.
Makes you look.
Jazzes it up a little bit.
Like for the average dummy, you wouldn't even know.
Make you look legit. Right. Like, no, girl, you just a bitch on medium.
Not MSNBC at all. Anyway. So this woman basically, mind you, she is black. Or at least that's what the picture looks like, a black one. I don't know.
But it don't really matter.
Blamed black feminists for the Birth of a Nation flopping. And basically said that the reason that it wasn't successful is because black feminists went on a social media rampage and teamed up with white media after they found out that Nate Parker's wife is white.
Oh, girl.
And so it's funny to me because throughout this entire article special keeps referring to black feminists as petty, but the entire article is petty in itself. And she even says something at one point, like, okay, it says,
I haven't read this yet, but I'm gonna pull it up.
There's
right
no
now.
Need for you to. But it says, she says, after a slew of gossip sites published the information about his wife being white, about 10 days later, the cyber attack then moved up to the black feminist academia, who write for mainstream media publications such as The Atlantic, Teen Vogue, Huffington Post, Time, who they've begged for inclusion, by the way, and others, and the next thing you know, blah, blah, blah. So to me, this whole thing it showed to me that A, you mad at black feminists who know their worth. And B, you mad that you writing on Medium.
Yes.
Like,
you mad because them bitches are booked.
Right. They have, like, they're getting checks in the mail. From actually, they're building their resumes. They have credits. Ooh, but wait. Anyway, I'm just going to say this. Nate Parker's wife being white, if it has anything to do with that movie flopping, it is just the smallest of the small factors.
It doesn't.
Like, just super tiny. First of all, every black man who is famous, who comes out and stands on some red carpet with their white wife, always gets flack for it. It always happens. Just like this woman pointed out, the actor from Luke Cage, his wife is white, and he got a whole bunch. He had to come forward and be like, look, this woman was with me in grad school and I ain't have shit. We've been together for 16 years. I don't love her because she white. I love her because I love her, and I wish I would leave her alone. Fine. This always happens. And nobody, I haven't heard anybody say anything about Luke Cage being anything besides great. Like, Luke Cage, from my view, has been getting great reviews. People seem to love it. Everybody texting me like, girl, have you watched it? I'm like, yes. So it really, his wife being white hasn't seemed to stop black women or men from watching and enjoying Luke Cage. It does raise a couple of eyebrows. Now, if you had any goddamn sense, you would know. While I believe that people should be free to date who they want to date, and I also think that it's unfair to treat people like their pride for their blackness or the knowledge that they have about their race and their culture is invalid because they're dating or married to somebody who's white. I don't feel like that's fair. I don't think that makes any sense. But at the same time, to act as if it isn't reasonable for black people, especially black women, to raise their eyebrows when they see their brothers with white girls, I feel like that's foolish. Because, I mean, you could start with this Chris Brown case and go back to the dawn of white time, but there have been plenty of white women who have been fucking, fetishizing, and dating and marrying black men, and then when they get pissed off or they don't get their way, they cry rape and they start running around and yelling and doing all of this other shit. So especially if you're one of them, if you're a person who is out here saying that we should be supporting Nate Parker regardless of his case, and you know this whole situation with this white woman who claimed that he raped her one time, blah, blah, blah. If you're saying we should be going to see this movie anyway because of that, then you definitely should understand where these women are coming from. Because if you are saying, well, he was acquitted, or he wasn't, nobody charged him with anything, and he got and that's just white women and they do this, that, and the third, then why is it complicated for you to understand why a lot of black women are uncomfortable with when they see that. I didn't see anyone say they weren't going to see The Birth of a Nation because his wife is white. I saw a whole lot of people say, of course, but I didn't see
of
very many.
Of course his wife is white.
Duh,
of
sure.
Course she is.
No
she
doubt,
is.
Obviously.
But no, that's not the reason.
That isn't the reason at all that I think this movie flopped. I think that you have to keep in mind that regardless of what actually happened between Nate Parker and the woman who took her own life and the other man who was involved, regardless of what actually took place on that night or that day, it doesn't have as much to do, I think, with this movie not doing as well as people would like to claim that it is. Because for me, it isn't the case. It's the way that he responded to the case. Like, I don't want to see The Birth of a Nation. I'm not going to support The Birth of a Nation. Past the fact that it's a slave-ass movie, and y'all already know how I feel about those. Mm-hmm. Nate Parker has been out here doing interview after interview saying completely dick-headed, dumb, ignorant shit all year long.
Yes.
His wife being white was, like, the last thing that I noticed, and I don't care about that shit at all. In fact, the picture I saw of his wife, she had a real ethnic bang. Like, I don't know... how
Come
to really
on,
describe
bang.
That to you, but it was like a real gelled down bang. And I was like, well, you know, she's white, but she's trying to jazz it up. Oh. She knows she's on the promo trail. She said, let me get an inner city bang.
Where is the emperor?
So, you know, things like him basically coming out and saying whatever, like, oh, you know, when I was a young person, consent was if you got a girl to say yes, then you won. And I would never play a gay man because I will never let anything emasculate me on screen or all this dumb shit that nobody asked to hear about or whatever. And then you on the Breakfast Club talking about you begging people to go see this movie. I bet. Because
I bet you are.
You have spent all year showing people that you think and believe really dumb shit. You've lacked even just a small amount of what I would think a person in your position would have in terms of empathy when it came to this woman and women.
Considering she's dead.
Considering the fact that she killed herself. And anybody could think.
Traumatized her.
That regardless of whether or not you actually assaulted her, she says that you did. And now you're running around promoting a movie about your blackness and all that shit. And if she wasn't in a right state of mind after this happened, which happens to a lot of people in these situations, then maybe seeing you running around with your mustache and a big old smile was too much for her. So just having a little bit of compassion would have been great. But the way that you spoke about it was like, you might as well have just had a big ass t-shirt on that said, I love rape culture. So,
right.
Like, you can't ostracize women, including black women and gays, and then be running around saying, niggas need to see this goddamn movie because Nat Turner. And then expect that we're just gonna go. See, I believe, I said this on one of my shows, but I also believe that people like Nate Parker and others who make a lot of these types of movies are just taking advantage of the fact that black people currently feel and have felt forever undervalued, mocked, ignored, and all this. So we take our power and our pride where we can get it. And so you have, that's why people for the longest time would tell me, oh, why are you always saying this and that and the third about Tyler Perry? At least he hires black people. You need to be supporting such and such because black. No, the fuck I don't. Like, I don't have to support black shit just because it's black. There'll be plenty of black creators. There'll be plenty of black producers and actors and directors who will create things that I feel like I can support. I will be right there in front line. As a matter of fact, I'm planning great shit for Hidden Figures?
Oh, yeah. The new movie coming out about the astronauts, the black female astronauts.
I'm in the front of the line. You know what I'm saying? Right. I don't need to hear the story of Nat Turner. I already know how it go. And contrary to popular belief, there are tons of young people who actually give a fuck, who know the story as well. And they're the same people who are on Tumblr typing fast as fuck saying, well, this isn't actually the reason that Nat Turner led the rebellion. He actually believed that God told, like...
Yeah, so that was really my issue with Birth of a Nation. That was really it. The fact that he decided to, he acted like it was going to be some historically accurate film and we're telling this really important story of Nat Turner and everybody needs to see this. Like, that's how it was billed at first, and I was really excited for it. And then I read these reviews of it that are like, well, first of all, it's just really horribly done. And secondly, he makes up, like, so much of it is not even true. And he even turns, like, the point of the rebellion into, like, retaliation for a rape that didn't happen, as opposed to what it is. Like, this, like, is a real story.
Gang rape was the reason. Instead of
You did that to black women. Black women's pain was nothing for you.
Gabrielle Union literally doesn't have a line in the movie. Now, they say that she chose, like, that was her choice or whatever. But the fact that these black women are just being, like, raped and then thrown into the fields and looking at the men like, please help us. When people like Nat Turner's own mama were out here, like, was ready to kill her son because, no, my son won't be a slave. Women fought in these rebellions too. So the depiction of women in the film, from what I've read anyway, and the reason behind it, instead of it being about his spirituality and the spirituality that slaves used to endure the bullshit that they were going through anyway, from what I've heard from several people who actually did pay to go see this movie, that isn't really being told the way that it should be in this movie as well. So that, coupled with the fact that you're basically shitting on survivors of rape and black women and homosexuals, and then it's like, oh, well, let me beg you to come see this movie and you surprised. But girl, don't blame the few. And then on top of that.
Oh, wait.
I'm tired of motherfuckers trying to make it seem like, well, feminism is just a bunch of hoes that want to be able to fuck who they want and they just hate men. And that's why da-da-da-da-da-da and whatever. And if I see somebody with the word feminist in their bio, I just assume that they don't know shit and that they're just petty and blah, blah, blah. Feminism is literally just about equality. It just means I want to be treated the way that nigga is treated. And why wouldn't you want, why wouldn't everybody why are you opposed want to that? Right. Especially if you have a vagina. Why would you be against that? Not every feminism is up here on Twitter making memes about a black guy's wife. Not every feminist, black, white, green, yellow, indigo, gives a fuck about who a nigga is married to. They just want for that nigga to be able to treat her with the same respect that somebody would treat him. That's it. That's all that feminism is about. So for you to be upset that your poor old mustache Nate Parker didn't hit whatever they spent on the fucking movie and the budget didn't match up with profit or whatever, like, oh well, girl, if you would have had Nate Parker shut his motherfucking black ass up for the better part of 2016, maybe that shit would have looked different.
How about stop asking black women, like Issa Rae said on the first episode of Insecure? How about
black women aren't bitter?
How about we're tired of being asked to settle for less? We're tired of being asked to put up with dumb shit. We're tired of being asked to accept anything, any kind of abuse or craziness or disrespect from black men for the sake of black unity. And it's always black women being asked to do that. It's always, well, forget the rape thing, forget the white wife thing, which, whatever, I guess that matters to some people, but ultimately that's not the real issue here. But then also, forget that the movie is historically inaccurate, forget that Nate Parker invents black women's pain in order to tell a story, like, oh, we're all just damsels in distress and we need these niggas to come save us. When the actual
story was good enough.
Right, when you change his, you change his mother, you change her in the movie, you make her some quiet, docile, oh Lord, I just don't, well Lord, I just can't handle it and all this. Like, you turn her into that when she wasn't that.
That's
you
not
fuck
who she
with
was.
The story. And then you still, you expect black women to come support you anyway, and then you blame us when your movie flops. How is that our fault? That
because
how?
I'm not a black woman and I damn sure ain't see that movie. And I wasn't quiet about not seeing it. And I've said several times why I wouldn't go see it.
Yeah.
Especially being that I'm tired of watching these violent ass, all of these movies, all they do is just show black people in their Yeezy clothes back in whatever year.
Mm-hmm.
And they're being mutilated by racists. And it's just a way to just to like shock us. And black people sitting there like, yes, look how awful white people did us. And white people sitting there like, God damn, white people are terrible.
Yeah.
And then that's supposed to make us like feel, I don't need to see, I might as well just watch Saw, Final Destination. I don't know. Halloween, Alien. If I want to watch a horror movie, there's plenty of that shit going around. I don't need to see black people. I can watch CNN. I can watch motherfucking The Shade Room if I want to watch black violence against black people. Like, I don't need to see that. And stop trying to convince us that we need to A, be supporting this type of shit because it's black and we need to support black people. I don't need to support black people just because they black. And no. I damn sure don't need to support a black person who I believe ain't shit or is a dickhead because they're making some black shit. And furthermore, I don't need to watch this movie to know the story about Nat Turner. I read books.
Right. This isn't new to me.
And there are several other children who read books and can read books. I could say, hey, kid, you ever heard about Nat Turner? No? He's great. Here, read this. And they will get a better understanding.
Probably Wikipedia, even, would be a better story.
The smooth, maybe, what, 20 minutes that you would spend on his Wikipedia page? I'm sure you'll get more, way more information about Nat Turner, who he was, why he did what he did, instead of going to see this movie about a nigga who's been running around here saying whatever the fuck he wants to, and yet we should go see it anyway because he black. Black people don't have shit. We ain't never got shit. We have, like, very little representation in a lot of these places, and so we just supposed to flock to any black ass thing and support it because we don't have. No, I've told y'all time and time again, I'm going to support the things that I think is worth supporting. I'm going to support the things that I think should be on display. And I think that we are familiar with slavery. Like, we know, my dog Link at home knows all about it. I've had her watch the films.
I think Roland Martin got his ass dragged today, too.
I saw that. Shut your ass up.
We tired of this dumb shit.
If you want to go see it, fine. Go see it. Go support that nigga. Give him whatever coin you want to. But I'm not going to let anybody just run their mouth and say whatever the fuck they want to and then make a movie that's not even accurate to the person who they're this true story of a black slave. And then you're telling me that this inaccurate story is supposed to be supported because we want young people to know the story of Nat Turner.
But this that ain't even
motherfucking true. So,
you just want a black man to win. That's it. And that's fine, because I usually want black men to win too, but not at the expense of black women. And I will not stand up for that. I simply will not allow it. And it would be a totally different story if Nate Parker had this incident, this whole rape story, which only God knows the truth of exactly what happened. But had it just been that, and then the movie was just like so excellent and really well done, and he had come out here and been like, I just feel a lot of remorse for the way I was in college, and I was a young, dumb nigga, and it took me a while to grow up, and now I just want to get out here and help other young men from realizing the ways that they are, like, I want to help them stop from being predators, because I think a lot of young black men in particular maybe don't even realize the extent of how fucked up the way they act even
is. Of course they don't.
Because violence against black women is not taken seriously. So you can do whatever fucked up, say whatever fucked up thing you want to us, and it's allowed to just basically roll off your back. Like, nobody really gives a shit, because who are you even really hurting anyway? Black women. So it would be different had he, you know, come out here on the genuine apology tour and had also made a really great historically accurate film, but those things didn't happen. So don't ask me to stick up for somebody who's already demonstrated time and time again that he'll shit on me and people who look just like me.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
I mean, I would have at least bought a ticket, because I've definitely bought tickets to slave movies and things like that, or any other type of shit.
Yeah, I'm not
that
doing
I
that.
Don't.
Queen of Katwe.
Like, and if I don't feel comfortable seeing it, then I just won't go. But I will at least buy a couple of tickets on Fandango or something to support. But Nate Parker, like, he literally ruined that himself with his mouth.
Right.
Black feminists didn't do it. Black women didn't do it. The gays didn't do it. That case didn't do it. Nobody did it but the words that I heard come out of Nate Parker's mouth. So if you want to blame somebody for Nate Parker's movie not doing very well, you should probably blame Nate Parker.
I mean, and that's basically it. That's what really it comes down to. Because Nate Parker's the one who made the movie. So.
And honestly, if you're a black woman writing this shit, then you should honestly be ashamed of yourself and figure out what the fuck it is that's going on with you that makes you feel that way. Because nothing in this motherfucking article even made any sense or was logical. All that it read to me,
she just wanted to get picked,
was that you want somebody to read this shit because you really would like for somebody of a certain publication to publish some shit like this. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you do write for a publication and they told you they weren't going to post this shit because it didn't make no motherfucking sense. And so
you pitched
here
it to
you
Ebony
are.
And Ebony said, no girl, we're not. not running this.
It seems like you just mad at black girls who stick up for themselves and are open-minded and won't follow the rules of any old fuck nigga who tells them what they should do and how they should think. And if that's your problem, you need to talk to Jesus about it and leave black girls with some pride and sense the fuck alone, because wasn't nobody going to go see that fuck shit? No way.
That's really it.
So you can birth that nation.
It's just internalized sexism. You mad at other women because they won't play the game that you have signed up to play. But you don't have to play either, girl. You could quit. You just don't want to. Don't get mad at me because I opted out of the game. That's all there is to that. Well, so yeah. Thanks for that. I'm glad you brought that up because that was weighing on me heavily. Because I felt like, you know, people like me are being blamed for this movie flopping when we had nothing to do with it.
But, I mean, literally.
I mean,
all
but
I did
all right,
was
girl.
Decide not to go. And I can do, I'm going to
I mean,
do that.
Where are the black men? How come y'all don't go see? Why don't y'all, instead of shitting on us, why don't all these black men and all the women who support them, why don't y'all get together and all y'all go see the fucking movie then? Y'all make it number one then.
Go watch it. I'm
or
not
maybe,
stop
or maybe
you.
We outnumber you, and you should just.
I'm not going to stop.
It's
you.
Not our fault.
But I'm
anyway.
Also not going to be quiet on why I am not going to go see the movie just because he black. Like, I don't want to see it, and I'm gonna let you know why the fuck I don't want to see it. Just the way you can sit up on here and call black feminists petty and angry and a whole bunch of gay loving prostitutes or whatever the fuck it is that your dumbass said, girl. Talk to a counselor, please. It helps. I do it.
I mean, really. A qualified professional can make some giant changes in your life, girl. So thank you for that. I'm going to move right along into something that happened after Donald Trump went on tape and on TV, I guess, and embarrassed himself in front of the whole world, really, because everyone's watching.
I mean, the whole entire
and wondering
world.
What's wrong with us. But afterwards, a white woman by the name of Betsy McCaughey, who is the Republican former lieutenant governor of New York and a current advisor to Donald Trump, went on CNN a couple of nights ago.
This can't be great.
And of course, at the debate, a big topic was this video that came out where Donald's talking about he just grabs women by the pussy. And when you're famous, you can do that. And it's no big deal. And they let you get away with it. All this other terrible stuff. So they brought that up at the debate. Trump insists that that's just locker room talk and it's not something he's ever actually done. And shout out to Anderson Cooper for being like, so by locker room talk, you're acknowledging that what you're saying is like, this is sexual harassment. This is sexual assault, actually. This is not locker room talk. That's code for boys will be boys, you know, and that's just something, again, that I'm not standing for. What you mean is I was talking in a casual way about sexual assault and I felt perfectly fine about that. The fact that this tape has come out, you know, it is what it is. But sexual assault is what you were describing. So this bitch gets on to CNN, I guess, because, you know, everybody's running damage control, and says that she hates, you know, terrible, foul language. And that's why she doesn't listen to rap music, because it's full of that sort of thing. It's just the F word and the A word and all this.
I saw this.
And so everybody's like, I mean, yeah, girl, that's fine if you don't like that type of language. So you don't listen to rap music. But rappers aren't running for president. Like, when Kanye is running in 2020, then we can bring up his lyrics against him. But for you to just cite some random rapper right now seems strange, because that's not your candidate. So this bitch keeps going and says, quote, Hillary Clinton expresses that she finds the language on that bus horrific, but she in fact likes language like this. I came to slay, bitch. When he F me good, I take his ass to Red Lobster. My nigga.
Yeah.
This white woman cited Beyonce as like lyrics that prove that Hillary Clinton is just as big of a fan of quote unquote locker room talk like Donald Trump is, because Donald Trump says he grabs women by the pussy, but Hillary, you know, when he fucked me good, I take in a Red Lobster. I guess because Hillary doesn't hate Beyonce. So first of all, girl, if you have a problem, if you're anti Beyonce, you're in a minority in this country, on this continent, on this globe. You being anti-Beyonce is a sentiment you should honestly keep to yourself, because it's irrelevant to just about everything, and it's only going to make people look at you like, what the fuck is wrong with this bitch?
Especially when it comes out of absolutely nowhere.
Especially when it comes out of nowhere. Are you seriously comparing your candidate saying that he sexually assaults women and gets away with it because of who he is versus Beyonce saying, I'm in a committed and loving relationship, I slay, and when that nigga dicks me downright, I take his ass around the corner to Red Lobster? Are you comparing a sexual crime? Are you comparing sexual assault? And this isn't even the first sexual assault thing that's come out about Donald Trump. in the past few days, we've seen all these news stories about he used to go backstage at the Miss Teen Universe and the Miss Universe pageants and watch the girls undress and all this shit. A couple of older ladies have come out and given a report to the New York Times about Donald Trump groping them on an airplane and some other stuff that happened a few decades ago. So he's got a long history of being a creepy ass, dirty ass motherfucker. But in his defense, instead of, I don't even know, because I can't defend a man like that, but instead of anything even remotely rational, you decided to pull Beyonce into this trash. Like, again, someone who didn't ask to be included, and yet...
just minding her business.
She's just wrapping up world tours, surpassing Taylor Swift in tour revenue, just out here being a bad bitch and slaying like she always does. And here you go mad because she said, when a man fucks me well, I take him to Red Lobster.
Not just a man, him.
When he fuck me mine. Good. Right, not one just any one man in particular, but when that one fucks me right, I take his ass over to the Red Lobster. That's just, that's not a message that can be spread as being bad for women or illegal to do or disrespectful to someone else's genitals. I had sex with my husband and I took him to Red Lobster. You are comparing to your candidate who was freshly married at the time, talking about going around grabbing women's pussies. Okay, fine. Republicans, white people. I'm a lot more calm about the election since I've been listening to these political podcasts, and white people assure me that numerically Donald Trump cannot win.
Yeah, so, I don't think so.
So I'm feeling a little bit more calm about the election, but in the same vein, because of course this is not the only white woman to say something stupid this week. After the whole debate and, you know, them asking Donald multiple times about the sexual assault and him just being like, it's just locker room talking, it's no big deal. And Bill Clinton said way worse shit to me, again, with the childish shit. I didn't do it. And if I did, that boy over there did it way worse. And here go the girl who said he looked up her skirt one time on the playground. Like, that is what he did. Brought women who have accused Bill Clinton of whatever and then tried to pull it back on Bill. Like, he said way worse stuff to me on the golf course. So what I'm doing right now just isn't even that big of a deal.
I already got a president in front of my name.
All of this backlash towards Donald Trump now is very curious to me for a couple of reasons. Or I guess there's like kind of two ways I feel about it. Number one, I'm really glad that you finally see that Donald Trump ain't shit and is not fit to be president and is a horrible person and expresses no remorse and just really, like, not even, should not even be around the general public, really. After this election, honestly, we should find a way to keep him locked up in whichever overpriced apartment he owns. He should just have to stay there. The rest of us shouldn't have to deal with the Donald. But
he's insane.
How many months of outright racism or transphobia or xenophobia or really basically
Islamophobia,
all of it, how many months of that have we put up with from Donald Trump? And we've heard people, his supporters, time and time again excuse it by just saying, oh well, he's just all about security, or he's all about borders, or he's all about America. Like, they will come
except
up with
borders around that puss.
Why are you like this?
Build a wall around that.
So this lady, an independent voter from Knoxville, Tennessee, her name is Karen Slose. I'm not sure. Oh, so this was from a New York Times article. And she's been planning to vote for the Donald all this time, but she was repulsed by the way he acted at the debate and said that she didn't want her 16-year-old daughter or 18-year-old son to follow in his example and thought it was terrible for him to talk that way, and said that all she was waiting for was for him to display real regret. He'd have to show true remorse. We, and I mean we as in America, would have to see true remorse. I wanted to hear I was wrong, and I didn't get that. So even still, after months of him being like verified on paper, shitty to everybody but white people, even now that he's coming after what you perceive to be white women, so now you're personally offended, all he had to say was, I'm really sorry, I shouldn't have done that. And you would have been perfectly fine with voting for him all over again? Really, bitch? What kind of, I feel like that line of reasoning is so white that I'm not even privileged enough to understand it.
Yeah.
I think you have to consider yourself the default, like, status quo absolutely. Of a human being.
It's very in much order to feel the rest way. Of that isn't my business.
Right. Oh, he doesn't like Muslims. Well, I don't know how I feel about them either. So, and he doesn't like the gays. The gays, I mean, there's one at my job, but really, I could take them or leave them. Or the poors, or the really, the everybody. It's all of the marginalized communities. And you've sat there and watched all this abuse and disrespect just fly, I mean, on a daily basis from this nigga. And you ain't felt no type of way until he said something about grabbing Nancy O'Dell's pussy. And now you bitches is mad. Really? Like, I can't get with, and this is a huge part of the reason why white women and black men, because based off the two of our reads today, or just the way I feel about both of these stories from Birth of a Nation and white women associated with Donald Trump, I feel like all of y'all can have each other. These black men and white women who are basically the same as far as privilege are concerned can just carry their asses right the fuck on somewhere. Black men love to act like they have no idea how being a male affects them in society or is a benefit to them in society. They can only see their blackness, or a lot of them act like they can't see anything past their blackness. They don't see how black women could or have to endure just as much shit or more shit under certain circumstances because of their womanhood, but they want us to ignore that part and come together with them because of black. And then I turn around from dealing with that frustrating ass conversation, and I'm faced with white women who understand everything about feminism and equality and equal pay and all this other shit. And we're just all together in pussy power. And yeah, girl, we shouldn't have to pay for tampons and diva cups for everybody. But then when it comes time for you to see me as a black woman and how I'm paid less than you are as a white woman, so you're much closer in this wage gap than I am, and how I'm subject to a particular type of violence or disrespect because I'm black and not just a woman, then all of a sudden you can't see that and you want me to lay everything else down and stand up with you in the sake of womanhood. And I'm tired of both of y'all's trifling asses, white women and black men, asking me to ignore a giant part of my identity for your fucking good. This is why I'm saying I'm standing up for black girls and my work is for black girls, because I'm not going to put aside one or the other before. I feel like for a large majority of my life, I've set aside other issues that affect me, like the other ways that my life has shit to deal with, for the sake of blackness and typically for the benefit of black men. Like just standing up for them or using my voice for them or putting aside my personal politics for their benefit. And I'm just not gonna do it no more. I'm so tired of everybody's fucking shit. You white girls who have just now discovered that Donald Trump is a dumbass motherfucker, I want you to, first of all, I'm glad. Don't get me wrong. I'm happy that you do finally feel this way. But take a good, long, hard look around at this country and all the people that you have let Donald Trump shit on up until this day. And then ask yourself, are you really confused as to why we have all the problems we have in this country as far as race is concerned? You can't possibly be. If you take a step back and say, wow, I've really let all kinds of bullshit go unchecked in the name of Donald Trump, and then when it finally affected me personally, then I saw that he was garbage, you cannot be surprised at what's going on in this country right now. And I'm just over all y'all, truly. I wash my hands of these white women and these black men who act like they can't see intersectionality or can't understand that black women exist in more than one place at once. I'm just done with you. And as far as I'm concerned, you niggas can have each other. I hope y'all very happy together. But I'm not sticking up for neither one of y'all while you pretend that I don't exist in the full human way that I do. Kiss my ass. And I'm done.
All right.
Woo! Is that it?
Well, that was a read this week.
Did we miss anything? I feel like
I don't think so.
If we did, I'm sure y'all will let us know. Don't forget that today's episode of The Read is brought to you by the brand new show from HBO, Insecure. There are so many shows on TV showing modern black women just doing the most and being amazing. But Issa and Molly are definitely not killing it. They're dealing with their own real life flaws and just trying to get through everyday life. It's an amazing show. Again, shout out to Issa Rae for making that jump, girl, from YouTube to HBO. It's just inspirational, and you're living the dream. Tune in every Sunday at 10:30 Eastern and Pacific to watch Insecure exclusively on HBO. And don't forget to listen to Insecurity, the new podcast with me and Fran of Hey Fran Hey, dropping every week on mybathroommirror.com. Check the website for updates, and we'll be talking about and recapping the show. So that's it for that. Do you have any news this week?
You can get, oh, thanks to everybody who came out to the Furious Thought shows. It was a great first wave, and I will be planning more dates for the future, probably sometime early next year.
Proud of you.
So, yes, thank you so much for that. In the meantime, Trilloween is coming up at the end of the month. So if you're in Atlanta or New York City or surrounding area, you can go over to thekidfury.com, which is my new website, and you can go get tickets there and peruse, read, contact me, whatever the fuck. And also, right after Trilloween, we'll be going back on the road for Reed shows. We haven't done a Reed show in LA in a minute, so top of November, that's what we'll be doing, West Coast. Love coming out there with your medicinal treats. And then in December, we're coming to Boston and finally my hometown of Miami, Florida, which I'm excited about. My friends are excited about. So
yes,
you can get tickets to that on thereadlive.com. And other than that, I want to... Oh, I'm looking for someone who... Maybe I shouldn't say this online. I mean, maybe I shouldn't say this on the podcast. Looking for an artist, but it's specific.
Oh, you're going to get 1,000.
Don't email me. Don't at all. If you know anybody who does great, like, painting, like, I want a mural done, basically. Mm-hmm. So if you know anybody that has some work on Instagram, tag me in some of their stuff so I can see. This should be someone who either is in New York or can travel to New York, please. And I would like for them to do something fun for me. So Instagram only, please don't email me. Please don't send me a message on Twitter. I mean, just.
You should just do a post and say, if you know an artist, tag them in the comments or tag me here or something. That way all your responses are in one post about that.
That's a great idea. I'll do that. So that's it for me, I think.
Okay. I just want to say thank you to everybody who watched my latest story on Drunk History. It aired a couple nights ago on Comedy Central. It is up on the Comedy Central website now. Thanks again, Derek, for having me back. I don't know why y'all keep letting me do this, but it was just an honor to tell the story of Marsha P. Johnson and the Stonewall riots, and it was a blast as always. So thanks to everybody who checked it out. Make sure you follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr. This is The Read. Check out thisistheread.com, and I think we're done. I think we'll see y'all next week.
Yes, we will. Goodbye.
Bye.